Okay, so for the last couple of weeks now, we've been talking about spiritual formation. And I think this is super timely for us as a church because, as a lot of you know, we got a lot of new people here. Some of you are sitting here that are new believers. They're not just new to our church, they're new to Jesus. And a lot of people have been coming to the Lord and a lot of people have been baptized, and that's super, super exciting. But a lot of those people are saying to me, look, I'm in. You told me I had to repent. I was going this way and now I need to go this way and start following Jesus. How do you do that? I literally don't know how to follow Jesus. And then we have a whole bunch of us that have been Christians for a long, long, long time, but I think a lot of us are starting to have this feeling like there is more. Like there's something else. Like I didn't get saved just to get the get out of hell free card. You know, I want to be changed. I think a lot of us are saying, I don't just want to go to church. I want to thrive and I want to flourish and I want to matter in the kingdom of God. I want to be transformed and I want to be like Jesus. And that's what this series is all about. We've been following very closely with this book called Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. And when I say following closely, I don't have to tell you, man, it's probably plagiarism. I'm just going to be straight with you. I feel like everything I know about spiritual formation, I learned from John Mark. And so I'd really encourage you to get this book. I feel like every service I should like put quotes at the beginning and then again at the end. And just because everything, it's just such a great book. And you'd benefit so much from reading this book along with us. And it's not too late for you to get a book and get caught up with the reading. So week one, we talked about just how different God's kingdom is than this world. And that's why Jesus' model and Jesus' instruction seems so upside down and so counterintuitive and so countercultural and so weird, because his instructions are intended for life in God's kingdom. And in God's kingdom, everything's upside down. The first will be last. Leaders serve. We're supposed to pray for our enemies. We forgive people who do us wrong. It's better to give than receive. I mean, chew on that for a second. This is crazy talk, right? Except that we're trying to follow Jesus. And if we're going to thrive and if we're going to flourish in God's kingdom is a very different place. And so the first week, we just talked about how different it is. Week two, we talked about the idea of following Jesus as our rabbi, not being a fan of Jesus, being a follower of Jesus, not just being an admirer of Jesus, but being an apprentice of Jesus. And that means being with Jesus and becoming like Jesus and doing the things that he did. And then last week we said that if we're going to be transformed into his likeness and if we're going to flourish and thrive in his kingdom, then we need to really resist conforming to the patterns and the ways of this world. And we actually gave out a formation audit to look at some of the things that are currently forming us that maybe we don't even know are forming us. And if you haven't already taken it, you can still take it. My email last week, we'll have a link to it. My email next week, we'll have a link to it. We have the QR code. If you get your phone, you can do that. Or if you can just look at that and just remember what that looks like exactly, that'll work too. Or you can go back to the Connection Center. We got a couple of paper ones back there and you can just take it. But I really encourage you to do this formation audit and see how you are being formed by your habits and how you are being formed by your relationships and how you are being formed by the stories that you believe. And a few people have told me, you know, if you're going to take this thing, if you're going to do it honestly, you know, brace yourself because it's a little bit shocking. At the end of this thing, it gives us a list of some of the possible effects of being conformed to the patterns of this world. And I'll just read you some of them. See if any of this sounds familiar to you. These are the possible effects of following the patterns and the ways of this world. Ready? Stress, hurry, anxiety, fear, insecurity. How we doing? I don't really read that's enough. Hypervigilance, jealousy, anger, irritation, impatience, resentment, shame, division, isolation, materialism, discontent, debt, laziness, alcoholism, addiction, impulsiveness, pornography, racism, sarcasm, numbness, distraction. Does any of that sound familiar to you? And a lot of people have said, man, it's kind of shocking because this is basically describing my life. And if it is, that's okay. And if you're shocked, it's okay. I'm glad if you're shocked, but I don't want you to be discouraged because there's also a second list B. And list B is the possible markers of following the way of God's kingdom, and they include love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, faith, hope, simplicity, unhurried living, calm, generosity, contentment, freedom, a clear sense of direction, a sense of meaning and purpose. I mean, do those sound okay to you? Wouldn't you love to just jump off of list A and jump on to list B? And I'm telling you, that's what Jesus wants too. In John 10:10, Jesus said he came to give us life, but not just any life. Right? He said that he came to give us better life, new life, better life, eternal life. He said he came to give us a rich, satisfying life. God created us to thrive. God created us to flourish. God created us to matter in this world and in his kingdom. And Jesus came to move us from stress and hurry and anxiety and exhaustion and sin and separation and self and move us towards a life of love and joy and peace and contentment and rest and relationship. Jesus came to move us from list A to list B. And I think last week was really just recognizing some of the stuff that's shaping us and some of the stuff that is forming us into list A, like our habits and our relationships and the stories we believe. So today we're going to start talking about being transformed, what it is like to be changed, to be more like Jesus, to really experience list B, right? To experience love and joy and peace and relationship with God. And I think that's what we all want. Is that what you guys want? Who's in for going from A to B, right? It's every, of course, you know, and you know why? Because we're wired for that, right? We're like a fish out of water in this anxious, stressful, sinful, separated, isolated life. We don't belong in that life. We weren't created for that life. God created us and wired us for something way better than that. He wired us. He built us. He created us for list B. And I think the problem is not for most of us that we don't want to become like Jesus, because we do. And the problem for most of us is not that we're not trying to be like Jesus. In fact, some of us, I think, are trying too hard. The problem is we don't know how to become like Jesus. In Luke 6:40, Jesus said, "A disciple isn't above their rabbi, but when they're fully trained, they will become like their rabbi." This is really great news. Jesus is saying it's not only possible for you to become more like him, he has a training program to help you get there. And this program, right, this metamorphosis, this transformation is driven by the Holy Spirit. But as we said a few weeks ago, he calls us to partner in it with him. And for it to work is going to take a new level of intentionality on our part. If we're going to partner with God in this thing, if we're really going to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus, if we're going to really be fit for heaven so that we can flourish and thrive and matter in the kingdom of God, then we're going to have to get a little bit more intentional about our spiritual formation. We're going to have to get a little bit more intentional about being with Jesus and becoming like Jesus and doing the things that he did. So before we dig any further, I want you to take a look at this quick video about intentional spiritual formation.
Spiritual formation isn't a Christian thing, it's a human thing. Every minute of every day, we are being formed by a complex interplay of forces. We're formed by our habits, our relationships, the stories we believe, and our environment. All this happens over time and through experience. The first four forces are more active, more about what we do. The last two are more passive, more about what is done to us. But most of our formation is unintentional. It just happens. We wake up, go about our normal life, years go by, and one day we realize we've been formed into a particular shape. Which means for those of us who desire to be formed to be like Jesus, we don't start with a blank slate. We've already been deformed. Not into the beauty of Jesus, but into the ugliness of sin and shame. Therefore, at some level, all formation in the way of Jesus is counterformation. To be formed to be like Jesus will require an intentional, thoughtful, conscious way of life to counteract the many forces that malform our soul. To counter our habits, We need the practices of Jesus that turn the fulcrum of our heart in a new direction and open our inner world to the presence and power of the Spirit of God to change. To counter our relationships, we need community, where we travel the way side by side with other apprentices of Jesus, and we are loved into people of love. To counter the stories we believe, we need the teaching of Jesus to fill our minds with truth. And to counter our environment, we need to live aware of and in connection to the Holy Spirit, who is the animating center of our life and the ultimate source of all transformation. These counter practices form our souls slowly over time, and especially through times of suffering, where we are not only formed, but forged into the love and peace and joy of Jesus. This is intentional spiritual formation, a life architecture of discipleship to Jesus that is deliberately designed to be more robust than the cultural forces all around us and the internal forces of our own heart. The key idea is this: we are going to be formed. Jesus' desire is to form us to be like Him. But this will require us to organize our days around intentionally following Jesus and finding deep joy in our everyday lives with Him.
So last week we talked a little bit about how life is doing this to us, right? It's squishing us and it's shaping us and it's forming us like clay without us even knowing it. It's unintentional. And without even knowing it, our spirits are being formed by our habits, by our relationships, by these stories that we believe. And like we said last week, the question isn't, are we being formed? The question is, will we be intentional about what and who is forming us? And intentional spiritual formation means just that. It means not just going through life obliviously letting habits and relationships and our beliefs and the environment around us form us, and instead choosing what and who is forming us, deliberately fighting back against the things that we may have unintentionally been allowing to deform us. So this is an example. If habits are deforming us, and they are. Our habits are deforming us. And it's not just horrible habits. How many of you are in the habit of murder? Like, not that many, right? I mean, but there's a lot of habits that are deforming us. For some of us, it's eating habits, or it's drinking habits, or it's sleeping habits, or spending habits, or it's the habit of watching political news 24/7, or it's a habit of scrolling through social media for 3 hours a day. Or it's a habit of shopping online all day for stuff we don't need. And if those habits are forming us, if those habits are doing something to us, if those habits are making us into a certain kind of person, if those habits are making us anxious or angry or greedy or sad or sinful or cynical, then being more intentional about the habits that form us means replacing those deforming habits with some great, healthy, Christ-like habits. And we do this through what we're calling the practices. And some people call these spiritual disciplines, and I think it's just really important, especially when we throw out that word discipline, that we, in the very, very beginning, say, these practices are not the things that we do to be saved. These things are not the things that we do to start a relationship with Jesus, right? We're saved by the grace of God when we put our faith in Jesus. Somebody say amen to that, right? We are saved by the grace of God when we put our faith in Jesus. We're saved by what He did and not by what we did. Look at Ephesians 2:8. God saved you, how? By His grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done. So these practices are not things we do so we won't go to hell. Right? These practices are not things we do so God won't be mad at us anymore. These are not things we do so that God will love us and now we can earn a relationship with Him. These are things that we do because He loves us and because we already have a relationship with Him. These practices are just activities that are based on the life of Jesus that create space for God to come into our lives and transform us. They're practices like prayer and Sabbath and service and fasting and solitude and witness and generosity and spending time in the Word. These things, when we do these things, it kind of like opens us up to God, right? These things that we do open us up to Him. They create space for Him to work on us and in us, with us. So it's almost like His Spirit is transforming us from the inside out, and He uses these practices to transform us from the outside in. John Mark says, he's a lot more profound than I am. He's a more eloquent guy than I am. He says, as we do what we can do, offer our minds and body and hearts and habits to God, He does what we can't do. He transforms us into people of love and joy and peace. So intentional spiritual formation means, for one thing, recognizing that our habits can form us, and intentionally replacing deforming habits with transforming practices. We're also formed or deformed by our relationships. And that's, I mean, we were created to be in relationship, right? You were wired for relationship. We're created in the image of a God who is, in fact, a relationship of three persons in one, right? God created the whole universe so that we could have a relationship with Him. God is all about relationships. So if God is relational and we're created in God's image, then we're created to be relational. That's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. But if our view of the world and if our values and if our behaviors of our lives are shaped more by our relationship with our families or our friends at school or work or online in this world than they are by Jesus and the kingdom of God, then we need to get more intentional about our relationships. And this is why we make such a great big deal of home church about finding a group. We need to be intentional. Godly relationships are a huge part of our transformation. In fact, John Mark says, community is the incubator for all spiritual growth. If you ever tell anybody you heard somebody say that, make it sound like I said it. Okay, that is so good. Community is the incubator for all spiritual growth. It's where our rough edges are ground off. Iron sharpens iron. We talk about that all the time, right? This is where our deepest wounds are healed. This is where we learn what it is to be forgiven. Communities and groups is where we learn to forgive. Community is where we practice the practices. And living in community is not always easy, but it's where the deepest spiritual formation happens. So since we know that relationships are forming us, we need to be intentional about choosing and forming those relationships. These habits are forming us. Good, bad, indifferent, right? Why not choose good? Right? These relationships are forming us. Good, bad, or indifferent. Why not choose good? You follow that? Okay, so now I'm going to tell you guys a little secret. Today you're part of a sociological experiment. And you know what this experiment is? So we changed our seating arrangement in here. And what we did was we got rid of those little two-seaters over there. And we took some of the chairs in the back and like pushed them to the front and pushed things like this. So what we did is we took everybody and we shoved them together like this. And people were walking around like disoriented in the back. Oh my gosh, you know, what happened to my chair? Where's my chair? Where's my? And it's like, you'll just be strong, you know, you'll be okay. You'll be fine. God's gonna get you through this, I know. But listen to what's going on here. I think the world has deformed us about relationships, specifically about being close to each other. Can you think of a world event in the last few years that formed us to be isolated and separated and apart from one another? And if that's forming us, if that's causing that to happen, okay, that's bad, and we can be mad that that's happening, or we can try to do something to transform us by changing our relationships, by changing our habits. So we squished everybody together. Did I go too far? Probably so. Because we have people sitting on the very front row today. Watch, oh my gosh, what could happen? I don't know, revival may break out, or the world may burn down. I don't know what's gonna happen. We need to be intentional about choosing and forming relationships. Lastly, we're being formed by the stories we believe. We are being formed by the stories that we believe. And if we're being formed more by the stories that we're getting from Hollywood, or from social media, or from our news feed, or from our educational system, than we are by Jesus and by Scripture, then we need to intentionally change that. So how can we be more intentional about the stories that we fill our minds with and that we believe? It's by filling our mind with the teaching and the truth of Jesus. So Jesus is our rabbi. He's our teacher. He's our truth teller. And he came to fill our minds with his vision of reality. So there's lots of ways we can fill our minds with the truth of Jesus through good preaching and teaching. It's just reading Scripture, right? Meditating on Scripture. Just discussing Scripture with other believers. I've had people write me emails and say, I disagree with what you said about that Scripture on Sunday. And I always tell them, this is awesome, because now we can talk more about Scripture. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And ultimately, I'm always right, so it doesn't matter. But the conversation's good. It's good. It's iron sharpening iron, right? This is me understanding Scripture. You made me look at that Scripture one more time with that question. That discussion made me think one more time, well, what did God really mean by that? It's a good thing to converse, to talk, to kick it back. It's a good thing to meditate. It's a good thing not to say, I'm going to read the whole book of Genesis in 15 minutes, but instead to say, how about this? I'm going to read Psalm 95, right? And I'm just going to soak in that. I'm going to marinate in that, and I'm going to let that form me. In John 8:32, Jesus said, if you remain faithful to my teachings, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I want to suggest that it's not just free from hell. It's free from list A. Yeah, it's free from anxiety and irritation and lust and exhaustion and laziness and sin and self and separation. When we intentionally fill our minds with God's word, we're formed by what we believe, and we begin to experience transformation. So last week we talked a lot about Romans 12:2. Remember that verse that says, well, I got it right here, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How do we do that? By the renewing of your mind. It's my last quote from John Mark this week. Look what he says. Consciousness is the flow of thoughts and feelings that pass through our mind all day long. But if we don't curate our consciousness, if we're not intentional, if we don't choose what we give our attention to, someone or something else will. What we fill our minds with is the person that we become. And when we empty our mind of lies and replace those lies with God's truth, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So, if we're being unintentionally formed by habits, intentional formation calls us to replace deforming habits with transforming Christ-like practices. If we're being unintentionally formed by our worldly relationships, then we need to intentionally form relationship in Jesus communities. And to keep from unintentionally being deformed by the stories we believe, we intentionally fill our minds with the teaching of our rabbi. And these intentional habits and relationships and truth form us into his likeness. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard work. It's hard work. A lot of you are wearing that shirt, and it says, to be more like Jesus every day, and it's somebody holding up a mirror, and Jesus is in that. I want to tell you something. That mirror gets heavy. All right, this is hard, hard work, but we don't do any of this in our own strength. We don't do any of this in our own wisdom. We don't do any of this in our own courage. We want to keep reminding ourselves the driver in all of this, the power of all this transformation is God's Spirit in us. So I don't know how this is landing with you guys. I'll tell you, for me, I am so, so excited about being changed myself. So excited about becoming more like Jesus. I'm so excited that we can do it together. And I'm so excited that he gives us a role in it. He lets us participate in our own miracle. And I'm so excited, I am about 5 minutes from becoming a monk. I'm telling you, I'm gonna join a commune or something. Maybe we should start a commune. Who's up? No, we're not. But wouldn't it be so much easier to experience the practices and the community and the teaching of Jesus if we could be away from all the habits and relationships and stories of this world? But you know what? God hasn't called us to that. Huh. He hasn't called us to that. He put us here. He put us in this world. He put us here in this community. He put us in our families. We're not following Jesus on dirt roads in Israel 2,000 years ago. And we're not following Jesus in God's fully come kingdom 1,000 years from now. We're following Jesus on 281 and 46 here and now. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to really talk about how to follow these practices and how to live in real community and how to really fill our minds with his world in this world of pressure and stress and anxiety and deadlines and expectations. So a couple of weeks ago, we tried out a practice of a daily prayer rhythm. We know that Jesus prayed at least morning, afternoon, and evening. And so some of us have been trying to figure out some kind of prayer routine or some kind of prayer rhythm. How many of you have been at least trying to work on that a little bit? Good, thank you. That's awesome. This week, we're going to try a new practice. If you started the prayer rhythm, don't stop that. Right? We don't do one practice and then throw it out and then do another practice, right? Where they were trying to develop all of these things. A recent study showed that 87% of people sleep with their smartphone near their bed. 87%. Most of them check their phones first thing when they wake up. So what's happening? So many times we're starting our day with a tragic news story. Or we're starting our day with a stressing email. Or we're starting our day scrolling through social media looking for something to make us feel miserable or lustful or left out. And just as we start the day, we're feeling anxious and we're feeling angry and we're feeling jealous and we're feeling sad. What if there were another way to begin our day? Some of you young people don't know this, but there hasn't always been smartphones. What if we could replace that deforming habit with the transforming practice of Jesus to start each day with a little piece of God and a little piece of his joy and his goodness and his peace? So this week's practice is to read scripture daily. It's to replace some of these deforming habits. Maybe it's that one, maybe it's another one. You've got some habit in your life that's deforming you. And what if you replaced it with relaxing into God's presence through scripture? Think of the habit in your life. Maybe it's that one, maybe it's something else that you think is most deforming you, that's giving you the most anxiety or stress or pressure or making you lustful or angry or frustrated. Think of the one habit in your life that's doing the most of that to you. What if you got rid of that habit and you replaced it with this transformational thing of just relaxing into God's presence through his word? Because when we read scripture, we turn our attention to God, right? Not the news, not social media, right? Not what we're doing wrong and what everybody else has got better than us. We turn our focus into God's word, and he's good, and he's beautiful, and he's true. So we want to read scripture every day, and maybe it's a whole book. I don't know what your life is like. Maybe it's a chapter. Maybe it's a psalm. Maybe it's one verse. But every day we want to engage God's word. And I know that maybe you've never even tried, honestly. There's people for sure in this room that have really literally never even tried to read God's word. And I want to encourage you with something we said last week. Start where you are, not where you think you should be. Start where you are, not where you think everybody else is. Start where you are. We're going to do something. So just a couple of ideas about reading scripture, especially if it's new to you. One is read a version that you can understand. Okay, I'm not against the King James Version, but I don't understand it. I like the New Living Translation. I like the NIV. I like the New American Standard. I like the New English Version. And when you start to read it, like it's like we said about prayer. There's not a wrong way to read it, but there's a few things you could try. There's a Bible app called YouVersion. I think we have a picture of that app. You should get that app. It's really cool. It's really easy. It's free, and it has reading programs in it where you could sign up for this one or that one or this one or that one, and every day it'll give you a suggestion of something you might read, and it's by topics and all that kind of stuff, so that YouVersion is great. You could just open up the New Testament and just start reading. That would be great. You can just pick up Genesis. Start at the very beginning. We talk about Genesis 1 almost every week in here, right? You could just start in Genesis. If I were going to start, people ask me this all the time. I've never tried it. What's a first book? I would read Matthew. Matthew's a great book. It's all about Jesus. You get through the first chapter, get through that part, and then it's awesome. It's awesome. It's a lot of information. It quotes Jesus more than anything else. If you do, and you think Larry talks about the kingdom of God too much, if you've ever gotten in your car and said, oh, he ever talks about the kingdom of God this and the kingdom of God that, if you've ever said that, read Matthew and come back to me. And you'll see that's all Jesus ever talked about was the kingdom of God. So Matthew would be a great place to start. James is a really great book. It's just a few, it's 3 pages. You could read James in a sitting if you wanted to. Nobody has ever read James and said, I don't understand it. So James is a great place to start. John is a great place to start. But as you're reading, just try, let's don't just make it like reading a magazine. Right? This is supposed to be transforming us. So I'd really encourage you that as you're reading it, try to listen. I'd rather you read one verse and really say, what is God trying to say to me through this scripture? And the best way to try to like contextualize it, right? Because we're not in Israel 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago. So you try to contextualize it. I'm telling you a way to do that. When you read a passage, take a little chunk and read it. Here's 3 questions that you can ask yourself. What does it say? What story is it telling? What instructions is it giving? What does it say? And then like, okay, well, what does that mean? Like bigger picture, right? What's the transforming bigger truth out of that? And then last, what does it mean to me? How does that fit into my life? How does that fit into my context? How does that fit into my world? Another idea, if you've never tried journaling is amazing. Everybody that's never tried journaling thinks it's stupid. And everybody that's ever tried journaling thinks that it's life-changing. So I'll just give you... when you sit down to read, just have something to write with, just a journal or a piece of paper or something to write on, and you can write down your answers to those questions. Like, I read this passage, and these are the answers that I kind of came up with today. Or you can just write down anything that sticks out to you as important or surprising or scary or funny. And maybe you already read your Bible every day, and if you do, then that's great. Maybe there's a way to enhance. Let's take one more step, right? A way to enhance what you're already doing. And then last thing, one of the coolest things you can do is combine the practice of daily prayer with the practice of daily Bible reading. So just finding a quiet time every day, hopefully the same time every day, and then quiet yourself. And that means no phones, no TVs, no distractions. And then just pray. Like we said, there's no wrong way to do that. And you, as you pray, you might even ask God to help you understand what you're about to read, and then open your Bible and read. And as you intentionally curate your consciousness, right? As you intentionally fill your mind and replace the lies of this world with His truth, God begins to change you into a new creation, a citizen of His kingdom, and you become transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Amen? We'll try it. Keep them up because we got video. Okay. All right. We got record. All right. That's a binding contract. Okay. Just to be clear. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus, for His model of how to live in Your kingdom, for the great teaching He's given us, because Your world is weird, man. Your kingdom seems so upside down to us, and we need to turn ourselves upside down so that we can flourish there, so that we can thrive there, and so that we can matter there. And so thank you for Jesus and Him showing us how to do that. Thank you for all the teaching He gave us, all the great example that He gave us. And God, I just pray that You'll just help us see we are being formed. And help us to not be unintentionally, just random, arbitrarily, accidentally formed by all the stuff around us, but instead to be formed by Jesus, by His teaching, by His model. Help us to be intentional with our habits and be intentional with our relationships and intentional about the stories we believe. God, our prayer is that You would not just do stuff for us, but that You begin to do stuff in us, that You'll change us, make us more like Jesus. In His name, amen.